journey through the word, turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, Old Testament. And I want to encourage us from three points of understanding what God has shared with me that I would like to share with you all. And y'all pray for me because tonight we have watch night service and I have another message for everybody tonight. Amen? So y'all pray for my strength and pray that God will use me as he sees fit. Pick a side. You know, when you look in the book of Joshua, Joshua told the people of Israel, choose ye this day who you're going to serve. When you look in the book of 1 Kings, the prophet Elijah, the greatest prophet to ever live, his name means in Hebrew, the Lord, he is God. He said, how long will you juggle between two opinions? If God be God, serve him. If Baal be God, then you serve him. In this life, every day you get up, you have to pick a side. Either you're going to choose to yield to the Spirit of God, or you're going to choose to yield to your sinful nature. But you will choose either way. My encouragement to all of us today is that every day we get up and every night we go to bed, that we pick the right side. You should have 2 Chronicles chapter 7 by now. When you have it, say amen. Amen. Are y'all ready for the word today? Yes. Amen. I want to start at verse 1 to set the stage. Because we came to the house of God to worship God. Amen. So keep that in mind. Verse 1, it says, now when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. The priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the Lord's house. All the sons of Israel, seeing the fire come down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, bowed down on the pavement with their faces to the ground. And they worshiped and gave praise to God, saying, truly, let the church say truly, truly he is good. Truly his loving kindness is everlasting. Now I want to set the backdrop here. Here we have the dedication of the temple to God. It was in David's heart, King David, it was in his heart to build a temple to the Lord. But because of his sin, he forfeited actually building the temple, but his son Solomon, who came after him, was able to carry out the desires of his father. See, sometimes you can have a desire, but you may not have the resources to carry it out. You can have the vision, but it takes somebody else to walk it out. See, many of us are standing on the shoulders of our ancestors that may have had the visions to go to college or the vision to go into the military or the vision to own a home, but they were never able to complete the vision, and we are the manifestation of a vision that was given to our predecessors. So King David, he was a man after God's own heart. He loved the Lord. He's the one that said, I hide the word of God in my heart that I may not sin against God. But yet, he was not able to complete the mission. But his son was able to complete the mission. And this is where the backdrop is set. You have this beautiful, beautiful environment here, and Solomon not only finished the temple of God, but he also finished his palace. See, how many of us know that when you do God's business, he'll give you time to do your business too? See, Solomon had the most beautiful palace of any king to ever live, but yet he put God first. See, Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you." In 2018, we got to pick a side. In 2018, we got to say, am I going to take care of God's business first and let my business come secondary? But your business never comes secondary when you make God primary. Because God knows what you stand in need of. God knows the desires of your heart. He knows the wickedness of your heart. He knows what your dreams are. He knows what your desires are. He knows what your goals and plans are. But guess what? He won't get in the ship or the boat of your life if you don't make him the captain. So the fastest way to accomplish your vision in life is to surrender your vision to God. Is anybody with me? Now, that doesn't make logical sense. But God does not reside in the realm of logic. Because you cannot put God in a box. So you see, Solomon sees the fire come down from heaven and the people are saying, truly he is good and truly his loving kindness is everlasting. And they're in the house of God and they're praising God. So they're doing everything right. Right? Catch this. Let's go down to verse 8. Just take your finger and go on down. Is everybody with me? I didn't lose anybody, did I? Verse 8 reads, "So Solomon observed the feast at the time for 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great assembly who came from the entrance of Hamath to the brook of Egypt. On the 8th day, they held a solemn assembly for the dedication of the altar. They observed 7 days and the feast for 7 days. Then on the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people to their tents rejoicing." Let the church say rejoicing. "And happy of heart because of the goodness that the Lord has shown to David and to Solomon and to his people." So everything sounds really nice, right? Everything sounds smooth as silk. They're hitting on all cylinders. They are doing the right thing. They are dedicating sacrifices. They're having a feast. They are celebrating the Lord. They're giving glory to God. But something's about to happen. Let's look at verse 11 through 13 intently. Are you with me? It says, "Thus Solomon finished." Let the church say finished. It's nothing like accomplishing a task. You ever had all these things, you know, people have New Year's resolutions. They want to lose a certain amount of weight for a wedding or get summer ready, whatever it is. But it's nothing like actually completing something that you set out to do. There's no joy better than completing a task. But the Bible declares, saints, that the Lord, it says he completed all that he had planned on doing in the house of the Lord and in his palace. He had two major projects going on at the same time, and he was able to check them off the list. Let's look at 11 through 13. 12 says, "Then the Lord appeared to Solomon." Let the church say, "Then the Lord." "Then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, 'I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as the house of sacrifice. If," let the church say if "I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence," which is disease or illness, "among my people." Now you got to catch this. You got to catch this. We got to stop right here. Why would God respond this way when I've done what he commanded me to do? Why would God come at me like that when I just finished sacrificing 22,000 oxen and 120 sheep, 20,000 sheep? If you look at the previous verses, Solomon gave 22,000 animals to sacrifice and 120,000 sheep. Very rich man. He had an abundance to give to God. But why would God respond this way after I praised him? Why would God give me a warning when I'm worshiping him? Shouldn't he give the warning to the one who has become a prodigal son, a prodigal daughter, who have turned their back on God? I'm in the house of God. I'm praising God. I'm singing in the choir. I'm ushering on the door. I'm working in the parking lot. I'm working in the kitchen ministry. I'm giving God praise. Even though I'm going through struggles, I don't show it on my face. I'm praising God in spite of my circumstances. And when I praise God, this is how God responds. That if he shuts up the windows of heaven, if he calls it not to rain, if he calls stuff in my life to get eaten up, I'm one of your children. Lord, why would you even mention that when I'm in my right mind? Why would you mention this when I'm doing the right thing? Because God is omniscient. Omni means all. Science means knowledge. You put omni and science together, you have omniscience or omniscience, however you want to pronounce it. It means all knowing. All means I know the past, I know the present, I know the future. And it also means that every single person in this building has a track record of how they do things. God knows our track record. He knows that, hey, when good things come our way, oh, God is good and he's good all the time. I'm blessed and highly favored. But when tragedy and trial and tribulation come our way, we're nowhere to be found. We'll have a complaining spirit. Oh, woe is me. So God is saying, look, I can see through your worship. So while you're worshiping, you're in the perfect spot for me to warn you in your worship. Y'all not getting this. When you're lifting up holy hands, when you're praising God for who he is and that he sits high on the throne, he sits high but he looks low. He had to reach deep down to get me out of muck and miry clay. When you're doing that, you better realize who you're talking about. You better realize who you're talking to. And you better realize you need to pick a side. The reason God warned him while he was worshiping him, because your mind is clear when you're worshiping God. Your connection with God is not inhibited when you're in the right mind frame. So while you're at, well, see, you become like an empty tablet. And God says, I have you exactly where I want you to warn you. When we come to the house of God, we come to worship God. But while we are worshiping God, we have to go back out into a dirty world. We have to go out into a Christless world, a world that opposes Christ. The Bible declares that in this world you will have trouble. The Bible declares that those who live godly shall suffer persecution. So when we see missionaries getting beheaded because of Christ, the Bible prophesied that. They hated me. They're going to hate you. So when we worship God, start listening for the warning in your worship. When we sing hallelujah, take time to listen for God to warn you of what's coming around the corner. It's easy to be on the mountaintop. It's easy when everything is hitting on all cylinders in your life. Everything you touch turns to gold. Your health report is perfect and impeccable. But when you come off that mountain, and God seems far away, and God seems not to hear your prayer, will you receive the warning? But you can't receive the warning when you're in the valley. You got to receive the warning when you're on the mountaintop. See, they were worshiping God, but God said, yeah, that's great. You're doing exactly what you're supposed to do, but listen to this warning I'm about to give you. Now, God, why would you shut heaven up? Why would you keep it from raining? Why would you send locusts to devour our crops? Brings me to my second point. Let's look at 14 through 15. He said, "And my people," let the church say "my people." Let me tell us something. You don't own nothing. I don't own anything. At best, I can just be a steward, a manager. I am not the CEO of nothing here. We own nothing. You don't own your spouse. You don't own your children. You just manage and steward. God calls all the shots. Amen. Keep living, you'll see. Let's look at 14 and 15. He says, if my people, first of all, catch this. We are a chosen generation, a peculiar people. Those who are in Christ, we belong to God. Notice he just didn't say if people. He said, if my people. See, you got to pick a side. See, when you gave your life to Christ, you picked a side, whether you knew it or not. And you picked to be under the umbrella, under the authority of Jesus Christ. And once I'm under the authority and I've been bought and purchased and blood washed by the blood of the Lamb, guess what? I now belong to Christ. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. The life that I now live, I don't live it to myself. I don't own my life anymore. That's a hard pill to swallow, but that's the truth. I don't own nothing no more. I don't even own my dreams anymore. Yeah, catch this. Catch this. We say we're his people, right? He said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves. Okay? This is when the locusts have devoured everything. Nothing on your job is going right. Nothing in your relationships are going right. It just seems like you're eating bitter, sour, just lemons all your life. He said, but you can change that. He said, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves. Huh? What does it mean to humble yourself? That means you surrender and say, Lord, I am nothing. Lord, I cannot live this life without you. Lord, help me to serve you no matter what. Help me to glorify your name no matter what. No, things are not going the way I want it to go. I can't stand my situation. I actually hate my situation, but I'm going to humble myself through this situation. When God breaks you, he builds you. And when he builds you, he blesses you. But the breaking has to come before the blessing. So if you're feeling broken right now in any area of your life, it's because God wants to bless you, but he has to build you up first. Are y'all with me? My people humble themselves and what? Pray. Okay? And seek my face. And turn, let the church say turn, from their wicked ways. Then, let the church say then. See, God is putting a condition on this. When you see stuff in your life starting to deteriorate, it could be that you have some wicked ways. See, wicked ways are not all the overt things. There's some covert. Covert means undercover, incognito, disguised. We got some undercover wicked ways that are not necessarily on the surface. But God is saying, because I'm all-knowing and I'm God, when I start sending locusts in your life and I start eating up your life and I start deteriorating your sleep, robbing you of your sleep, you might be robbing me. But you can fix that. You don't have to stay in that condition. He says, catch this. He says, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven. Let me tell us something. The locusts that devour our lives comes from God. And the healing also comes from God. Isn't that a blessing? Notice you don't see the devil in any of this text. Some of the trouble that we're going through is not from the devil. It's not from a demonic attack. Some of the trouble, some of the pain, some of the agony that we go through came from heaven's gates. Take time to think on that. This is my second point. The first point was the warnings from God are wrapped in our worship of God. We just saw that, right? The second point is God will reverse his wrath when we reverse our walk. Oh, y'all didn't catch that. God will reverse his wrath if we reverse our walk. When we start going away from God and walking away from God and drifting away from God, he will start sending locusts in our lives. That locust could be a health report. That locust could be every time you get paid, five bills come in. I don't know what the locust is. It's not for me to tell you what the locust is. All I can tell you is it's locust. And when you are tired of being eaten away by the locust, you need to reverse the direction you were going and turn back to your first love. Turn back to the house of the Lord. Turn back. See, you know, I used to get frustrated with brothers that would just leave the church. I don't get frustrated no more. You can't control grown people. And when I say leave the church, I'm not saying go to another church. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying leave God completely. Man, I'm done with that. God ain't doing nothing in my life, so forget it. God, if they're truly God's child, prepare for a swarm of locusts to visit them. And when that swarm of locusts visit them, those locusts are designed to eat the crops that have grown in their life. Oh, you got to catch that. But the locust is not to kill them, it's to turn them around. See, God said, when the locusts come and the rain stop coming down and everything dries up in your life, that is an opportunity for you to humble yourself. Pray. Seek my face and turn from your wicked ways. But if you keep walking in the same direction, God's just going to keep sending more locusts. And let me tell you something. He doesn't run out of locusts. He will send as many locusts as needed to get your attention. Now, I don't know if you know anything about locusts, but in certain parts of the world, every year there's a swarm of locusts. And the locusts are in the millions where they can block out the sun. Oh, you got to catch this. Oh, y'all got to walk with me on this. Sometimes the locusts can take a sunny day and turn it into night. Because there's so many of them, the sun's rays can't even get through to you. And nothing can grow without sunlight. So the only person that can get rid of locusts is the person who sent them. Is anybody with me? This is not a shouting sermon, but it's one to clear our sinuses to get us to understand in 2018, we got to pick a side. Catch this. It gets worse, saints. It gets worse. Verse 17, but this is the beauty of it. It says, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Verse 15 says, now, let the church say now. Now my eyes will open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. For now I have chosen and consecrated this house that my name may be here forever. And my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. And for you. So he shifts from talking to the people to talking to Solomon in his personal life. Oh, you got to catch this. All of us in here are coming together as a body of believers. But we all have personal lives. We all have private lives. And God will use the message to preach to everybody in general. But you didn't come here just to get a generalized sermon. The word of God has the ability to cut through the general and make it personal. He said, I'm going to start with the children of Israel first. Yeah, their crops going to burn up and their locusts going to eat them. But if they turn and seek my face, Solomon, I will heal the land. I take that drought, those dry places, and make them fertile again. All right? Well, now I'm done with Israel. Let me talk to you. You got to hear this, saints. Verse 18 says, as for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked, even to do according to all I have commanded you, and will keep my statutes and my ordinances, then I will establish your royal throne as I covenanted with your father David, saying, you shall not lack a man to be ruler in Israel. So now he's coming to Solomon on a personal level. He said, look, I've talked to the nation of Israel. Now I'm going to talk to you, son. You are special because you're a king. And you come from the Davidic bloodline. But you better do everything that I tell you to do. Or what? What happens when we don't walk before the Lord? This is my last point. Let's go over the points again, saints. Are you still with me? Point one is the warnings from God are wrapped in our worship of God. We saw that. So when you worship God, listen for the warning. Point two is God will reverse his wrath when we reverse our walk. And the last point, when we switch our allegiance away from God, he will stop assisting our lives and start attacking our lives. Let me say that again. You know, if we come to church always thinking that God is sunshiny God and God is just all love, no matter what you do, God will just forget about it. That's not the God of the Bible. Yes, he's love. He demonstrated his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So we know he's love, but he's also a God of order. And he's a God that's not going to tolerate disobedience. Can I say that again? God will not tolerate disobedience. Why do we need to know that? Because your blessings don't come from the world. Your blessings come at the hands of God. And when we try to get our blessings from the world's hand, he's going to send the locusts because the world is not his people. We have to do it God's way because we're God's people. I can't take an alternator out of a Chevrolet Tahoe and put it into a Honda Accord because the alternator is made for GM cars. GM, General Motors. General Motors owns Chevrolet, i.e., if I take the alternator out of a Chevrolet, I need to put it in another Chevrolet because it comes from the same manufacturer. But I cannot take the alternator or some brake pads from a Ford truck and put it on a Honda Accord. They're not made by the same manufacturer. It won't work. So we can't take what the world try to give us by denying Christ and expect Christ to bless us. Because we don't belong to the same manufacturer. Amen. when we switch our allegiance away from God, God will stop assisting you and start attacking you. Please get that in your brains today. Whether you know it or not, even when you go through hell and high water, you're going through hell and high water with Jesus. And he can control the waves. He can control the wind. See, Peter said, what manner of man is this that the winds and the sea obey him? That's because Peter belonged to God. When you belong to God, he will show you his benefits. He will show you that no matter what you're going through, he's carrying you. He's assisting us. He's blessing us. Even when there's a dry season in our life, we still have faith. We still have confidence. We still have courage that, hey, even though things are not going my way, I'm not going to lose my faith in God because I belong to him. And God says, I will not let any of mine perish. So I want to encourage you, if you're going through something right now, God's got you. But your faith is being tested. And it has to be tested because that's the nature of faith. See, religion don't get tested. Faith gets tested. When you say you have faith in Jesus Christ, then you have to be tested. Ain't no way around it. You have to be tested. And all of us are going through different types of tests right now. Amen? But understand, that test is not to hurt you. That test is to help you grow to a whole nother level of faith. Let's look at 19 through 22. What was our third point? When we switch our allegiance away from God, he will stop assisting our lives and start what? Yeah. Let me give y'all an example. And this happened to me. Can I confess? Aren't we supposed to confess in the house of God? I wasn't always tithing like I should. And God attacked my finances. Can I be real? Okay. In Malachi chapter 3, he says, you have robbed me. And the priest said, how have we robbed you, Lord? He said, well, I'm going to tell you how you robbed me. You robbed me in the tithes and offering. He said, test me now in this. Bring that 10% to my house. He said, watch me. I will open up the windows of heaven. Huh? And I will rebuke the devourer. And I know this don't make logical sense, but it makes biblical sense. When we rob God in our giving, and I was one of the chief mass robbers. Can I be honest? Because when money gets tight, it gets tight. And you start thinking, man, I know I'm supposed to tithe this Sunday, but I got to pay this bill. That's not easy. And I'm not going to throw a stone at anybody that don't always be consistent. Can I talk? But God had to break me down and say, you don't understand, son, that I own everything. And I started tithing again. Amen? Let me tell y'all something, how good God is. My power washer broke 3 years ago. I had a power washer. And there's some items on my house that the mildew starting to grow on my side. And y'all know about that? You need a power washer. I said, man, I'm going to have to break down and buy a power washer. I'm going to have to break down and buy a power washer. So when I get some money, put some pennies together, I'm going to have to buy me a power washer, right? My power washer, I never threw it away. And I remember buying a warranty for it. But I bought this power washer back in 2014. How many years ago was that, Saints? Most warranties are just 1 to 2 years. So I got the power washer from Lowe's, and when it went out 2 years ago, I called. It was like, sir, if you don't have a receipt, there's nothing we can do. I was like, but I know, don't y'all have it in the record? Can y'all look it up? They said, sir, we can't look it up. There's nothing in here. There's nothing we can do. So I just concluded that, hey, the power washer is broken. I'm just going to have to get a new power washer. This is the honest truth. when the Lord got a hold of my heart about giving again, he said, test me, and I'll open up the windows of heaven. He said, but you're robbing me, Lamont. Yeah, I know you're preaching. I know you teach Sunday school, but you're robbing me with your finances. Can I teach? 2 days ago, what year are we in? I'm looking under my kitchen sink. I find the warranty and the receipt to the power washer. Hold on, we're not done yet. This 3 years later, though, so okay, whoop-de-doo, I found it, but it's still out of date. The warranty was 4 years. Catch this. So I got to give my testimony. See, the Bible says in Revelations they overcame the enemy by the power of their testimony. See, the enemy is getting in all of our heads. Don't give to God. You don't make enough money to give to God. See, but my testimony will help you overcome that negative thought. Catch this. I look at the thing, and the thing is all faded and everything. I say, man, this thing faded. But the Lord, he had to do nothing else for me because I knew that was the hand of God. So I looked at it. It said 4 year extended maintenance warranty on your power washer. I said, if my math is correct, I bought the power washer in March of 2014, and we're in December 2017. So once we hit 2018, my 4 years gonna be up. I called Lowe's, this service advantage program. They said, Mr. Ricks, we need you to give us a 22-digit number that's on your receipt. I said, ma'am, this thing is faded. I can only see 8 numbers good. So I had to tell her about 17 times the number. She said, we found it. She said, take it to Lowe's. Y'all got to understand what I'm saying. She said, take it to Lowe's. She said, I'm going to put it on record that we talked, and they can revive your receipt from 4 years ago. She said, I got the number. She said, go to Lowe's, go to customer service, and tell them you need it to get it repaired. And I'm just on the phone in shock. Because I know why. See, God will let you know why he's doing stuff. Nobody else in the room may know, but you know. I said, Lord, you mean to tell me you hid my resource because I was hiding my money from the source. You hid my warranty. It was always in my house. But because I was robbing God in my tithing, God said, there's some other things I've been hiding from you too, boy. I've been hiding that job you want. You can send all the resumes you want. But because you've been robbing me in your giving, you can forget. I don't care if you have 4 college degrees. I don't care if you do resumes for other people and everyone you did a resume for got a job. You're not getting a job because you've been robbing me in my house. If you don't learn nothing from this sermon, when you bless the house of God, your house will automatically get blessed. But I can't make you believe it. But see, he started sending locusts my way. See, when I was coming up here preaching all these sermons and everything, y'all didn't see the locusts that was biting my pockets. And there's still some in there I got to get out. In the name of Jesus, get out my pocket. But that's just my testimony. It may not be big to you. But I started to say, Lord, what else are you hiding right under my nose? See, in the book of Jude, see, God hid the body of Moses. The devil can't even find his body. If you know the word, you'll know that. See, God will hide stuff from you that belongs to you. God will hide a husband from you. Oh, yeah. Y'all getting it now. Yeah. He'll hide a wife from you. He don't care about your urges. He care about your service. He'll hide that job promotion from you. If you're robbing him, he'll rob you. And it's not easy. When that mortgage payment is due, and you got just enough, but God's word tells me, try me and see that I open up the windows of heaven. But you got to believe this word. If you don't have no word in you, you're going to have some worry in you. But you got to pick a side. Let's see what the word of God declares when he's talking to Solomon. Verse 19, do you have it? We're coming on off now. We're getting off the church van now. He says, but if you turn away and forsake my statutes, I ain't talking to the people no more. I'm talking to you personally. He says, and my commandments, which I have set before you, and you go and serve other gods and worship them. See, it's a difference between serving and worshiping. I serve my place of employment, but I don't worship my place of employment. See, if you serve something long enough, and if your mind not right, that service will turn to worship. I've seen people, see, in my field of work as an educator, I deal with a lot of parents, right? I deal with parents and I deal with the children. And one of the scariest things that I've ever seen, and my educators in here can attest to this, is when the child runs their parent. I told one parent, now I had a good relationship with her, but I told her this. I said, you know what? There's no need for me to call you no more when your son act up. I might as well have a conference with him. Now, Sister June, you can attest to that. I might as well have a conference with your son because, ma'am, I done suspended him several times. We told you what he needs to do. We get in the conference, he's talking to you like a dog. You ready to cuss us out because we jumping on him for disrespecting you. Parents are supposed to serve their children but never worship them. You need to serve some discipline. Serve plenty of that. See them grades come up. But you can't serve something and worship it too. God says you shall worship me and me only. Okay, verse 20. Is this making any sense to anybody? Yeah. Amen. Y'all love the word of God? Yeah. Verse 20 says, then I will, oh man, this is, please, look, put your thinking cap on, please, when you, let's, oh my goodness. Listen to this here. Then I will uproot you from my land. Why does God keep saying my? Because he owns it all. That job you work, God owns it. He owns your supervisor. He owns downtown. He said, I can uproot you from my land, which I have given you. That's why we can't walk around here like I'm all that in a bag of chips, because everything I receive, I got it from the good Lord. Everything. And everything we should give praise because we don't own it. And God is the one who gave it to you. If God gave you a very bright, intelligent mind, it's because God gave it to you. Because he can take that mind away. If God gave you a strong back and muscles, he can take that away. That's why we always got something to be thankful for. When things ain't going right, I know it gets thin every now and then, and times can get lean. But even in your lean times, you got something to lean on. And that's the word of God. He said, I gave you this. And this house which I have consecrated for my name, I will cast out of my sight. And I will make it a proverb and a byword among all peoples. This unbelievers and believers. All nations. As for this house, which was, let the church say was exalted, everyone who passes by it will be astonished and say, why has the Lord done this to this land and to this house? You don't see the devil name in here? Now, the devil ain't nothing to play with, but oh my goodness, you don't want to play with the good Lord? Because can't nobody stop God's hand. See, God can stop the devil's hand like that. Just ask Job. He said, the only reason why he's serving you is because you got a hedge of protection around him. He said, well, I'm going to take the hedge of protection down. You can do what you want to Job, but just don't touch his life. See, God controls it all. Isn't that a joy to know that the God you worship, he controls it all? But when you walk away from God, he'll stop assisting you and start attacking you. He says, why has the Lord done this? Man, I'm going to tell you, the Lord will embarrass us all if we don't get it together. My hands up first. I will put my feet up, but I'll fall on the ground. I don't got no stone to throw at nobody in here because I got my own sins and vices I deal with. But if God were to uncover and expose in public all the filthy, wretched sin that we all have, don't just look at me. Thank you, brother. You don't always serve the Lord every day. Some days we won't even look like Christians. Oh, you can laugh. Can I be real? To be a phony ain't going to help nobody. You get hit with the right pressure. You may not always say hallelujah out your mouth. And if you struggle with road rage, and that's a stronghold in your life, yeah, Christians got road rage too. Every sin in the book, true children of God have them. Every sin. And that's why God sends the locust. He sends the locust to get you right. Thank God for covering our sin, amen? Y'all should say amen 50 times on that. Just joking. I ain't gonna make y'all say no amen. But if you love the word, you would say amen. Verse 21, I've been holding y'all up too long. I'm sorry. It's just 22 degrees outside. You know, I want to keep y'all in this warm atmosphere. As for this house, which was exalted, everyone who passes by it will be astonished and say, man, that is embarrassing. Not only did your house get destroyed, but God will leave you out there and let people walk past you while you're in your mess. That's scary. And they would say, why has God done this to this land and this house? And they will say, look, not only would they question why has God done this, but they have the answer to their own question. It says, because they forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers who brought them out of the land of Egypt. Let me tell us something. When God saved you, he brought you back from the slave market of sin. But if you keep drifting from him, if you keep picking the wrong side in your daily and private walk, he will break you down, he will shut you down, and he will put you down, and then he will clown you in front of the world. And you and God will know why. Nobody else got to know, but you and God know. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers who brought them out from the land of Egypt. This is why right here, I can't leave God. I can't walk away from God. See, you walk away from God when you don't realize the Egypt he got you out of. Many of us, some of us was on drugs, in jail, and Jesus got you off. How can you walk away? Some of us should have been dead and sleeping in our grave. And I ain't getting in nobody's business. All of us have done some bad stuff, man. Some wretched stuff that you take to the grave. And you're going to walk away from God because things not going right in this season of your life? Because you've been waiting too long? God ain't showed up like he said he would? So you're going to walk away from God? I got one amen. The pastor has spoken. He got it personal. Man, where you going, man? No. But see, what he's saying in scripture, because Peter says, where else are we going to go? Who else has the words of life? See, when you walk away from God in the house of God, you're walking straight into the jaws of death and walking away from the kingdom of light. That's exactly where you're going, buddy. Straight way. This is why the devil is a deceiver, because he'll take our temporary setbacks, our temporary, mishaps, mess ups, sins, things not going right, money tight, you robbing every disciple in the book to pay Paul, everybody angry at each other in the house. He'll take that and say, where was God? But you better remember this. And say, you know what? Even though I'm going through this test and tribulation in my life, God owns it all. And I'm going to trust his word. Catch this. I'm going to trust his word above my circumstances. I'm going to keep on climbing this mountain no matter how rugged it is. Because the God I serve gave me the strength to climb it. Is anybody with me? Because they forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who brought them from the land of Egypt. Oh, we ain't done. And, let the church say and. They adopted other gods. And we're not done yet. And worshiped them. Oh, we ain't done yet. And serve them. And because of all of this, therefore, he has brought all this adversity on them. Ladies and gentlemen of New Berean, guests, saints, and friends, if you have locusts in your life, it could be because God is trying to call you back home. And I've come to us today, including myself, to say, come back home. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what you've been involved in. See, the law in Sunday school, we're going through the book of Romans in Sunday school. And in Romans 7, Paul talks about the limitations of the law. See, the law is like a mirror. Everybody in here looked at a mirror today before you came to church. Because when you go to sleep, you got to get all the crust out your eyes and all that kind of stuff, brush your teeth. Some of y'all use soap. Some of you use Noxzema to wash your face. Whatever you choose, whatever your brand is, use something to clean your face. Amen? The mirror can only show you that you're dirty. But it can't wash the dirt off your face. I can only show you through God's word how you look. But Jesus can wash you with his blood. So let's close our eyes right now as we close out in prayer. If there's anybody here and you want to rededicate your life to the Lord, or you want to give your life to the Lord and be saved before 2018 gets here, I'm going to ask you to stay in your seat while all heads are bowed and saints are praying. And I want you to repeat after me this prayer.